The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes. Welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, July 30th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Very, very happy you could join us today. All sorts of great stuff to bring you on today's Russ Belville Show. We are brought to you on 420radio.org, and you can help support us here at the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio by becoming a monthly sponsor. We're like public radio out here. We got to get regular memberships, sponsors, contributors, and advertisers to keep 24-hour, free, insightful, news-oriented cannabis community radio on the air. So if you can become a sponsor, please do that today. Visit 420radio.org and look for sponsor 420 or donate to 420 Radio, should be up there in the top bar. Now, on today's show, we've got some great video to bring you from River Rock TV. We got to meet the folks down there at River Rock in Denver, one of the premier grow and dispensary operations going on. They've got some great video they've put forth, a couple of patients telling how their use of medical cannabis helped them with their ailments, plus a tour of their new grow area. So we'll give you a look at that coming up at half past. Also on today's show, we've got some behind the headlines information for you that's very important for your Fifth Amendment rights. You know about your right to remain silent, as you always hear it on the TV cop shows when they arrest somebody, the Miranda warning. They call that. Well, there's been a recent Supreme Court decision. We reported it to you last month, called the Salinas v. Texas case, that has an important impact on your right to remain silent. We'll explain that to you in behind the headlines right after our 420 radio news. Also, in the Radical Rant today, an explosive investigation from CNN and the Center for Investigative Reporting blows the lid off of the rehab industry in California, how they're defrauding the taxpayers, how they are using deceptive billing practices to bilk over $94 million from the taxpayers of California over the past 2 years. You know how I feel about drug rehab. I got a few things to say about that. And then we'll take things into Toker Talk Radio. The phone lines will be open at 971-533-7111 if you want to chime in on that drug rehab fraud. Plus, we got a whole bunch of other stories to talk about. And I've got an interesting perspective on how we can rein in the corporations, as one of my Twitter friends asked just before the show. So stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show, number 235. Be right back after these messages. We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, July 30th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Lax oversight. Excuse me, wrong page. Student left in DEA cell to get $4 million from the United States. This from the Associated Press. An attorney for the man who was abandoned in a Drug Enforcement Administration holding cell for 4 days without food or water says his client has agreed to settle claims for $4.1 million. Daniel Chong's attorney, Eugene Iredale, said Tuesday that no one has yet been disciplined for the April 2012 incident and no criminal charges will be filed. Iredale says the Justice Department's Inspector General is investigating what caused Chong's near-death experience, but that he still has no answers. Chong's attorney says the DEA had no policy on the treatment of detainees at the time. It does now, and that policy includes cameras in cells and daily inspections. Chong says he drank his own urine to stay alive and tried to write a farewell message to his mother with his own blood. Chong was hospitalized for 5 days for dehydration, kidney failure, cramps, and a perforated esophagus. He lost 15 pounds. The DEA issued a rare public apology at the time. Denver Council approves 5% marijuana tax from KDVR.com. The City Council, meeting as a committee of all 13 members, voted 7-5 Monday afternoon to move forward with a proposal to levy a 5% tax on recreational marijuana next year. That municipal tax, which must be approved by voters, would likely come on top of the 25% combined statewide tax rate, which voters must also approve this November. The council was divided on the tax rate conundrum. Setting the rate too high, the industry warned, might lead would-be legal customers to go back to the black market. While setting it too low, many council members argued, might leave the city without the $9 million in revenue they believe they'll need to regulate marijuana shops. In the end, they settled on an initial 5% rate, which is what Mayor Michael Hancock's administration was pushing for, that will take effect on January 1st, 2014, when recreational marijuana becomes the law of the land. DC records its first legal pot deal in at least 75 years from the Washington Post. The 15-year struggle to legalize medical marijuana in the district ended like this. A 51-year-old Northwest resident entered a North Capitol Street row house Monday evening and emerged 90 minutes later with slightly less than a half ounce of street-legal, high-grade, DC-grown cannabis. Shortly before 6 p.m., Alonzo walked into the high-security sales room of the Capital City dispensary with two store employees to consummate the city's first legal marijuana deal in at least 75 years. He purchased about $250 worth of three strains of cannabis. Capital City Care's sales Monday to two patients represent the culmination of a fight that dates to the mid-1990s, when HIV/AIDS activists first fought to put medical marijuana on the citywide ballot. Nearly 70% of voters approved a 1998 legalization initiative. Jackson marijuana decriminalization petition turned in may come before city council next month. This is from MichiganLive.com. Barring any red tape or legal hiccups, Jackson, Michigan residents could be voting on decriminalizing marijuana within the city come November. More than 550 Jackson residents signed a petition to decriminalize marijuana that was turned into City Hall on Tuesday morning. Marijuana proponent Roger Maufort and Stephen Sharp turned in the petition 10 a.m. Tuesday, calling for a law that allows city residents 21 years and older to possess 1 ounce of marijuana or less. City council members will have the opportunity to either vote in favor of the ordinance or place the issue on the November ballot. Oral arguments heard in Hilo Pot Minister case from Hawaii News Now. A federal judge is expected to make a preliminary ruling on an issue related to using the religious freedom defense for the founder of the Hawaii Cannabis Ministry. Roger Christie's attorney wants to raise the defense that he should be acquitted of marijuana trafficking charges under the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The judge heard oral arguments Monday from attorneys about whether it should be up to a jury or a judge to determine if that defense can be used. Roger Christie has been detained without bail since July of 2010. He was one of 14 people indicted. The case continues in Hawaii. We will bring you updates here on 420 Radio News as soon as they become available. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, July 30th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we take a look at your right to remain silent under the Fifth Amendment and how it's been gutted by a recent ruling at the Supreme Court called Salinas v. Texas. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back after this.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic, so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
I think we're parked, man.
Take a little trip. Take a little trip. Take a little trip.
All right, folks. 12 after the hour. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And there's a recent post up at thefix.com, which points out the problem that we've now got with our Fifth Amendment rights. The continuing erosion of both our Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights is something we've been documenting here on the Russ Belville Show for quite a long time. And there's a recent Supreme Court ruling. We covered it in last month when it was decided. We covered it in the news. We'll bring a little more attention to it right now. And this is a ruling called Salinas v. Texas. And the point of it is that simply remaining silent can now be used against you. Now, we all know from, you know, watching cop shows over the many, many years since the, I think it was the 60s, 1964, was that the Miranda court? 66. 1966 Miranda decision. That was the one that is Miranda v. Arizona, I believe. And that's the one that said that cops have to inform you as they arrest you. They've got to inform you of your rights. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford, one will be appointed for you. You know the deal, right? So we've all been informed about this right to remain silent for years and years. But in this recent decision, this was a 5-4 decision, they decided that before an arrest, you don't have a right to remain silent, and being silent can be used against you. Now, check this out. The original court case was Salinas v. Texas, and it had to deal, this is back in 1985 when this happened, the original situation, was Genovevo Salinas was a prime suspect in a murder investigation, double murder investigation. Some people had been gunned down with a shotgun. So he agreed to go down to the station house and surrender his shotgun and clear things up. So he wasn't in custody. He voluntarily went down there to the cop shop after they asked, "Excuse me, Mr. Salinas, some people have been gunned down with a shotgun. Could you come into the station house and help us clear this up?" So he goes down, brings a shotgun, turns it in, and he starts answering questions. They start talking to the guy, And he starts answering questions. You know, I do. Where were you that night? Oh, I was here. What do you do? I do this, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it was. Starts answering a bunch of questions for about an hour. And then they got to a real specific question, which was having to do with the shell casings that they found and whether or not, if they ran ballistics on these shell casings, would they match the shotgun that he had just turned in? And he went, and just shut up. He got very, very silent. And the prosecutors in the case used that against him. They said, well, we brought him in for questioning. He was answering questions. He was singing like a bird until we asked him about the shotgun casings. And then he, quote, got an uncomfortable silence and, quote, bit his lip and shuffled his feet, end quote. And that should be shown as an admission of his guilt. See, we asked him about the shotgun. Boom, he clams up. And the problem with that is that he was found guilty. And Salinas then appealed, saying, well, his silence should have been understood to include invoking the Fifth Amendment, which is to say, if cops are asking me a bunch of questions and the Fifth Amendment says we have the right to not incriminate ourselves, then if I shut up when they ask me a bunch of questions that might incriminate me, I'm invoking my right to remain silent. I'm shutting up. I'm not incriminating myself. And not incriminating myself by remaining silent can't be used against me. That's what the whole Fifth Amendment's about, is that we don't punish people based on them not testifying against themselves. Well, in the decision, the Supreme Court said remaining silent before an arrest is an admission of guilt. Or at least it can be expressed that way by the prosecution. Basically, they said that Salinas here had to expressly invoke his Fifth Amendment right to silence in order to benefit from it. The majority said, quote, this is the majority of the Supreme Court, 5-4 decision said, quote, so long as police do not deprive a witness of the ability to voluntarily invoke the privilege, there is no Fifth Amendment violation. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that our right to remain silent was a privilege now. I thought these were rights that were, you know, recognized, bestowed to us by our Creator, and they were rights, not privileges. But okay, the majority continued, quote, the Fifth Amendment does not establish an unqualified right to remain silent. It only protects a suspect from being compelled to testify against himself in court, end quote. All right, so now you've set up a situation where, and there'd been previous decision that had already compelled you to have to invoke your right to remain silent, to be silent. This was an earlier, I think it was the King decision. I can't remember exactly, but there was a decision that said, no, you can't just be quiet to be silent. You have to say, I want to be silent. And then you can be silent. Right. Okay. And what this brings up, and this is what the Cato Institute had to write about this, is that the Supreme Court has complicated the law for persons who are the most vulnerable, persons who lack education, persons who do not speak English very well, persons who may suffer from mental problems, and persons who may be under the influence of alcohol, or for that matter, drugs. And this is exactly why the Supreme Court in 1966 came up with the Miranda decision in the first place. The whole point of that was to protect people who weren't aware of their rights to remain silent, weren't aware they had the right to an attorney, to protect the rights of the accused so that they could have a fair day in court, they could have fair representation. By deciding this 5-4 decision in this Salinas case, they have undermined that protection for these most vulnerable people. Now you're expecting people to understand that when cops interrogate them, if they think they've done something wrong, they need to be quiet, but don't be quiet without expressly saying you want to be quiet, unless you're already arrested, in which they'll tell you that. All this is going to lead to is more cops using these fishing expedition tactics, these rolling no's, these situations where they engage in, oh, just casual talk. We're not investigating anything. We're just talking here. And then the minute you clam up, They're going to use that as the suspicion to move forward with prosecuting you for something. So learn the lesson now, folks. If you think the cops may think you're doing something illegal, invoke your right to remain silent, invoke your right to an attorney, and you should have the number of an attorney in your wallet on your person at all times. Oh, 'tis sad times in the land. Passing ruffians can just use our silence against us. Let us try to celebrate what little freedom we've got left with a little 420 break. We'll come back. Bacon Dan's on the line with our Electric Tuesday Davey Toker Tunes. We got some mashup music for you today. Stick around.
If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Won't you roll a ring?
Ooh, yeah.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Oh, yeah.
Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
There's always a party at the Funky Roller Rink.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. Enjoy, we will, because we got Bacon Dan on the line, my lifeline to the younger generation. How you doing, Bacon Dan?
I am doing phenomenal, Ross. It's been a very busy week for me, finishing up my first week at my new job. I've been all around Portland gathering new and exciting music for 420 Radio, including a bluegrass album and a comedy album for the marijuana community.
Oh, that's excellent. I can't wait to hear some of that.
Oh, yeah, it's real good stuff. And today's song is that's so good. From Mashup Germany, I mean, it's that movement right now. Mashup Germany, you just go on Google and search them. They're playing sold-out shows across Europe and starting to come over to North America. I mean, the quality of the artists attached to them is phenomenal. This song, you know, anybody who was a fan of the 90s is going to recognize most of the songs used in this, but a different spin on it. And it's just going to get you moving and grooving and get you ready to enjoy this wonderful day, like the wonderful day we're having right here in beautiful Portland, Oregon. Although we need some rain. As much as people think it rains here a lot, we need some rain right now.
I don't know about that. Everywhere I go, it rains. It rained in Minneapolis when I got there. It seems like every city I go to this year, I bring a little bit of Portland with me.
Hey, well, you got to interview my idol.
Yeah.
Sir Richard Ferguson, which yeah. I am still so copiously jealous of because that is just too cool. I mean, I've looked up to Richard Branson for so many years now, so I'm very, very happily jealous to see that you got to speak with him.
It was a great time, and if you were looking to watch that interview, it's part of show number 234, and I posted it yesterday, but YouTube blocked it because I included that Sex Pistols video.
And right. So it blocked the whole video. So I edited that out and I re-uploaded it this afternoon. So if you want to see the Richard Branson interview, it's up online as part of show number 234. I'm also going to be typing up a transcript for it for hightimes.com. So it'll be available there and possibly the video as well.
Oh, that's too cool. That is too cool.
All right, well, let's get to the tunage here. Electric Tuesday, some mashup Germany with Life of Bad Touch. We'll see you soon, Bacon Dan.
This is a song for the brokenhearted. A silent prayer for faith departed. And I ain't gonna be just a face in the crowd. You're gonna hear my voice when I shout it out loud. Rising up, back on the street. Did my time, took my chances. Went the distance, now I'm back on my feet. Just a man and his will to survive. So many times, it happens too fast. You trade your passion for glory. Don't lose your grip on the dreams of the past. You must fight just to keep them alive.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals. So let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. Do it again now. You and me, baby, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. Catacombs of Egypt, only God knows where we stand.
been playing rock and roll for a lot of years. I've done it all. Now I do it without drugs. Hey, don't get me wrong, I still party with the best of them, but now I do it clean. You know, I'm on top of everything I do.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the...
Hi, my name is Jack. I'm a River Rock wellness patient. I have a long history, a 40-year history of skin cancer. After about a year at River Rock, I started to talk to Tony about a program for my skin cancer, and we came up with a complete program that includes tea, tincture, capsules, oils, raw juice. This combination, after about a month, I could see my skin had cleared up. I had many dry spots and pink spots on my skin that would mutate before that, and my skin started to clear up. After about another 2 weeks, I went to my skin doctor for my regular appointment. I've been going every 3 months and having excisions and freezings for at least the last 10 years. I've been going for 40 years, but for 10 years I've been going every 3 months. At this point I went back and the skin doctor could find nothing on my arms. He was amazed. I explained to him what I had done. He wanted to know if he should put it in my records. I said, go right ahead. Let's give the credit where credit is due. And I'm happy to say that at this point, if I get even a single spot, I can treat that spot just with a dab of the oil and a Band-Aid, and within days, that spot is gone. I believe cannabis cures cancer, and I'm living proof here.
RiverRockColorado.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Pedersen. I'm with Cannabis Patient Network. I've conducted over 200 interviews across this country. We're here today with River Rock TV to hear Regina's story.
Okay, about 6 months ago, I discovered a lump in my left breast. At first, I thought that I may have a ruptured implant and that I'd had breast reconstruction surgery about 6 years ago. And it seemed to be kind of a soft bulge. but then it became harder over a period of time. I didn't have health insurance, so I didn't have it checked at that time, but I was concerned about it. About 2 months later, probably in about February of this year, I started developing a smaller, harder lump in my right breast. It was much closer to the muscle, closer in under my arm, and it had a lot of concerning signs. It dimpled in around it, things like that. So without health care, I was really kind of left where I really didn't know what to do. I had a nurse who was a friend of mine. She actually checked it for me in March. Again, because I was quite concerned that maybe the implant had ruptured in the left breast. And she was fairly, concerned about the lump overall because it was fairly hard, but she wasn't concerned that the implant had ruptured. But when I told her I also had a lump in my right breast, then she became much more concerned. We relocated here to Denver in May. When we did, I found out there's an Indian Health Services here. So I qualify for medical care because I'm Cherokee and I'm income eligible. So I set up a doctor's appointment a couple of weeks ago. It's the first time that I've had anyone check them. A nurse practitioner checked both my breasts. She was very concerned about the lump in the right breast. It was the first lump that she checked. And due to the fact that it was hard and other signs, she was really concerned about it. But the one in the left breast, while it was kind of bulging, it was softer. And she said she had less concern about it, but she would really like me to have a mammogram as soon as possible. Again, I don't have health insurance. They don't cover mammograms, but she got a hold of the Women's Imaging Center. I'm just a few months short of my 50th birthday. With that, my income eligibility, they determined they would cover it. About the same time, and looking just at general health and things that we needed to do, it's the first time as a cannabis activist I really run across a high CBD program. We met with River Rock Wellness and we sat down with Tony and I talked to him and I told him my concerns. And I actually started the Privia program 2 days before my appointment with the nurse practitioner. We began taking the capsules during the day and we began juicing every day. And we began taking the oil as well in the evenings. When we first started, I was taking about a quarter gram a night. So I hadn't quite worked myself up to a half gram by the time I'd seen the nurse practitioner. And then again, like I said, when I saw her, she was quite concerned. When we left that apartment, I'd worried over this and Mark's worried over this for months. And I just said, there's nothing else we can do. We know I'm on the best treatment program, I believe, based on the science that I've studied in the last few years in this doctoral program. I think I'm doing the best thing for myself that I can. I can't worry about this anymore. We're just going to move forward and we're going to see what's going to happen. I didn't check the lumps during those 2 weeks. When I showed up for the mammogram appointment this past Monday, I began with the technician for the mammogram, and the first thing she asked me to do was to identify the lumps. The first place we went to was to the left breast because I saw the small area that kind of bulges. But when I reached over and felt it for her to place a sticker there, it was just really soft. It felt like jelly. It didn't feel like a lump anymore. And when I reached around to the right side, it was kind of leaning. She placed a pillow behind my back. I was kind of leaning to the side. And as I reached around to feel for the right side, I couldn't find the lump. And she said, well, give me the general vicinity. It may be the way you're laying. We'll put a sticker there and we'll take a good look. And she did that. And she took a number of slides through the mammogram. I would say 8, 10, 12 slides. I don't know. They take quite a few different ones. And she had me wait, saying that I needed to have an ultrasound because the Indian Health Services had approved moving forward with an ultrasound if it was needed, which to me sent the message of there is a concern that they need to look at. I went into the ultrasound. The technician looked at lumps in both breasts, and as I was watching it, I was noticing, particularly in the left breast, the tissue all looked really good. And I was having a hard time when she was on the right breast trying to see if there really was a lump or not. But I just kind of waited. She left. She came back in with a doctor. And the doctor says, well, interestingly enough, it took us a few minutes here because we decided to call your doctor's office and ask specifically where the lump under your right breast was. And the nurse practitioner had outlined where it was and had told them it was about 2 centimeters in size. And so he redid the ultrasound and it was gone. There was no lump in my right breast. In my left breast, the implants in both breasts are intact. The one in my left breast, there's nothing abnormal there at this point. I know there has been over the months. It's gone from soft to hard and kind of back to soft again. And then a little harder, and then it's gone. So that's kind of where we're left at. So I walked out and got to tell Mark the doctor didn't find anything. You know, and after he and I sat there, we'd been there probably about an hour and a half, and witnessed dozens of women coming in and out of this clinic. All I can really think is how fortunate I am to have tried a high CBD program. It's very different than the THC. I feel really good just in general health. I think the juicing, the Privia tablets, and those type things are giving me just good general health. But for the fact that both lumps are gone in 16 days from the time I started this, I find that absolutely amazing.
Cannabis Patient Network, cannabispatientnetwork.org, riverrockcolorado.com.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Scott. I'm here in the River Rock greenhouse with RD1 TV. Yeah, standing in front of a tree, it looks like, huh? Me and my big 6'5", 200-pound self got this big behind screen plant behind me. It's a diesel wreck, one of our sativas from our sativa line. What you guys are seeing right now is the future of growing in Colorado. For the last few years, everybody's focused on these indoor grows, multi-thousand watt setups, huge air conditioners, just horrible carbon footprint. So what we're seeing now is the transition to greenhouses. They're going to start popping up. River Rock has gone out of their way to build this beautiful, beautiful facility. 30,000 square feet, pretty big. It's going to be a lot of plants in here, a lot of meds for the patients. So hopefully today we're just going to roll through and show you a few rare dangerous strains, because we've got a nice home under the sun now. All right, so first up, we've got the Ghost Train Haze. This is the infamous High Times cover plant from the May 2012 issue, which was deemed strongest strain on earth. It has tested the highest THC of any plant ever entered into any competition that High Times has had over the last few years while they've instituted the whole testing policy. 25.49% THC with over 30% total cannabinoids. This plant's a beautiful one. Outdoors, it rages. Indoors, in a hydro setup, scrogged out, does really well. It's been known to pull 2 pounds per K, so it's a good one even for you cash croppers that are out there. The terps are amazing on this plant. It has a very unique resin flavor profile. So all the extract guys that are out right now that are running it are loving it. I hear more, I guess, from those guys than anything about how racy and head twisting that this plant, the oil that is produced from it. One of my favorite girls, simply because, you know, it set us on the map. I mean, we have won a Cannabis Cup with Moonshine Haze, but when you get deemed as making some of the strongest strains in the world, it changes the game. So, Ghost Train Haze, game changer. So, this variety is from seed. We always try to designate stuff when we're doing new varieties. Dank Commander, sweet. This is a super limited. Pretty much for me and my homies only crosses that we're doing right now. Catfish OG. It's going to be a stinky one. This girl so far is showing all the traits of the RD1, which is our Kim Triangle Ghost male that we use. Going to be a crusher yielder too. I mean, she's stacking up really, really nicely. And we're just starting to see the onset of early flower. So. Dank Commander. Hopefully it's as dank as the name is. Another seed variety we're running. This is Scott's OG. Named after yours truly. We have a couple of really nice Scott's cuts that we already run, but we, you know, from time to time run out seed varieties simply for germination testing and to see if, you know, we can always find a better pheno than the ones that we have. This particular one we know is a girl from that beautiful little sex indicator that's right there. Looks like a little tulip with a couple little hairs protruding out of it. That lets us know that she's a she and not a he. I love growing from seed. The nice thing with seed is you're never gonna have, you know, never gonna have somebody else's bugs, somebody else's problems that they have in their grow room. You're also gonna get to find a plant that you yourself have chosen based on your particular likes and dislikes. So instead of seeing a plant that has been chosen for somebody else's height requirements or flowering time, or you know, they like something fruity where you like something skunky. When you grow from seed, you get to choose. You know, you'll have a slight variation amongst the females, and you know, normally you can find something that you like. The hard part's when you find two or three things that you like and you have to kill a couple of them to find just that one. Yeah, man, we love the Scots, we love the Leroy, Star Killer, quite a few varieties we run multiple times a year from seed, just to add a little variety around. All right, so we're standing over in front of these big ass fans, so it might be a little noisy, but what you're looking at right here is the 501 Skywalker OG crossed with RD1. This is one of our most popular varieties. A good portion of them will purple up upon finishing. Really, really nice smoke. Heavy duty indica. And you can see, great yielder, man. I mean, this guy's gonna set up with, you know, foot and a half long colas once she's done. Great outdoor, great indoor. This plant, I think, in soil comes through the nuances of the flavors. Really comes through a lot better than it does in hydro. Again, makes excellent extracts, whether it's ice wax or butane. Yeah, man, we're just really fortunate to get to see these plants produce under the sun without being limited by, you know, how many watts per square foot we can push at them indoors. It's been a blessing to be able to grow, you know, pardon the pun, with the industry that we have here in Colorado, being able to work with companies like River Rock. Basically, it's going to change the way that the future looks at cannabis and the way we approach it as medicine, and I feel very blessed to be part of it. So, thank you guys. Thank you.
Rare Dankness Seeds had a big part in that video, and they're a big part of River Rock Dispensary, a medical marijuana center in Colorado. You can find more about them and River Rock TV at riverrockcolorado.com. Our thanks go out to Norton and all the crew out there at River Rock for allowing us the use of these videos and for the tour they gave us earlier this year, which you can still find our videos from our tour with Scott and the rest of the guys there. Available at our YouTube channel, Radical Russ on YouTube. Just look it up and do a little search. Search for River Rock, you should be able to find it. All right, when we come back, we'll have a little bit of time for a radical rant. We're going to talk about fraud and deception in the California drug rehab industry, how $94 million has been fraudulently spent of taxpayer money over the past two fiscal years. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
The greatest threats to liberty has been the government taking people's liberty for things that people are in favor of. The Pew Research Group shows that 52% of Americans think marijuana should not be illegal. And yet there are people in jail, and your Justice Department's continuing to put people in jail for sale and use, on occasion, of marijuana. That's something the American public has finally caught up with. It was a cultural lag, and it's been an injustice for 40 years in this country to take people's liberty for something that was similar to alcohol. You have continued what is allowing the Mexican cartels power and the power to make money, ruin Mexico, and hurt our country by having a prohibition in the late 20th and 21st century. We saw it didn't work in this country in the 20s. We remedied it. This is the time to remedy this prohibition. And I would hope you would do.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, if you follow the show for any length of time, you know that one of my prime targets here is the drug rehab industry, the kinder, gentler drug war that's proposed by some to channel non-violent, non-troublesome, productive marijuana smokers into rehab facilities to continue the flow of easy money to these largely group of charlatans. And there's a report out now that kind of vindicates a lot of what I've been saying. This comes out of CNN and the Center for Investigative Reporting, where they found massive fraud in the California drug rehab system. In one example, they talk about how there's a rehab center called the Able Family Support. And this is set up next to a smoke shop in the San Fernando Valley. And they parked some of their cars, news vans, secretly outside and filmed people going in and out to this drug rehab. And they found about 30 people went in and out to the drug rehab on this particular day. But when they submitted their bill to Los Angeles County for reimbursement, it wasn't for 30, it was for 179 people. And the government paid it. Los Angeles County paid $6,400 for the Able Family Support Clinic for the people that it claimed it saw on April 4th. Now, the reason this is happening has to do with the way California law has been decided. There is a fund there called Drug Medi-Cal, and there have been court decisions that have said that people with addiction can get rehab, which is a good thing in general. But Drug Medi-Cal paid out over $94 million over the past two fiscal years to 56 clinics in just Southern California that have shown signs of deception or questionable billing practices. And that's half of all the public funding. So half of all the public funding has gone to 56 clinics with questionable or deceptive billing practices. And over the past 6 years, $500 million has gone into this Drug Medi-Cal program. Now, the way they do this, they use coercion, they use forgery, they use all sorts of ways to defraud this taxpayer-funded program. They found people that were ineligible to run these programs and making a mint off of these programs. First of all, felons are supposed to be blocked from running any of these drug rehab clinics. Well, this one particular felon entered the rehab racket 2 years after leaving a Texas prison, where he was serving time for orchestrating an organized crime scam. Over the course of a decade, he built his clinic into a $2 million a year operation, all from taxpayer money. And understand, we are talking about the publicly funded rehabs here. So in a lot of cases, we are talking the people who've been caught for marijuana and sentenced by a drug court to attend one of these rehabs. So you get them on one side, you get the easy money being flowing into these rehabs because of our prohibition, followed up with these rehabs scamming even more money through fraud and deception. They're supposed to be ineligible to run these rehabs or to get reimbursement on these rehabs if they're on the Medicaid blacklist. Now, it's a federal blacklist where people that have been convicted convicted of defrauding Medicaid can no longer, access that program from the clinic level. But this one George Ilunio did so repeatedly. He was convicted of defrauding the student loan program and he was barred from collecting a single dollar of Medicaid. So the federal government barring this guy from any Medicaid reimbursements, but still the state and county paid him more than $1 million. So we've got the state of California here unable to even keep up with the Medicaid blacklist. And then according to interviews done with former state officials, the department has fielded concerns about rehab clinic fraud for at least 5 years, but has done nothing to combat it. Part of the problem is, as happens in California, it seems in too many stories, there's some discussion, there's some debate over whose job it really is to have oversight over these clinics. Part of the policing of drug Medi-Cal is done by the state. The state has to certify the drug rehab clinics, but the counties are the ones that handle the money and reimburse the drug rehab clinics. And both the county and the state are auditing the clinics every year. So this new ABLE family support, this one came around in 2003, and Karen Morrison was the woman who was in charge of the state certifying this clinic. She scrutinized their meeting schedule and checked out their resumes, but seemed to have no clue about the criminal record of the man who greeted her. Didn't realize that the man had a felony history. But he was on parole at the time. He had served 1 year of a 7-year sentence for that organized crime that we had mentioned earlier. In Texas, when they had prosecuted this guy, he was a guy that was robbing auto insurance. He was defrauding auto insurance. It was basically he'd have a team that would stage crashes and recruit actual crash victims in the court proceedings and on the forms and such, and generated fake medical and legal bills that the insurance industry would then reimburse. One man describes him as a man who paid off operatives from a briefcase full of cash. But when they... Pardon me. When they were having him fill out these initial forms in 2003, the form only asked about fraud against the government. Have you been convicted of any fraud against the government? And he could honestly say no, because he was convicted of fraud against the private auto insurance industry. And then in 2011, he was asked in a disclosure form whether he'd been convicted in the last 10 years. Well, by then it had been 10 years later than he'd been convicted of that fraud, so he could honestly say no. Now, in their 2004 budget, they used some funds, $10,000 for gifts and travel, $605 at a Palm Springs resort, $586 for a crab feast, $108 for flowers and a Betty Boop souvenir. And of course, the guy that runs the clinic said it was business purchases for promotion and outreach for the clinic. $2,000 a month for car expenses for the guy and his co-founder. And let's see, the state auditors asked Los Angeles County to repay the state $68,000 that was provided to the ABLE family. So now state's going after the county in these situations. And we're just seeing more and more of this. After one of these clinics, GB Medical, gave them a $90,000 raise, even after there had been complaints and questions about its fraudulent billing, raised their budget $90,000. These are the kind of things going on that show how much of this rehab is false, fake, and fraudulent. And the laws, especially in California, that mandate for drug treatment but then have such lax oversight over how that treatment is being administered are just for painting another black eye on something that's already a pretty shady, shady thing as it is. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us here from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon. I'm Radical Russ Belville. And until next time, take care of each other, chokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.